green sheet for you to fill out if you want to follow along with my message and things like that. One announcement that we need to make, because it's really important. Next week, if you come here at 11 o'clock, you're late. Okay, next week, we're going to start our summer schedule. Yep. Mic's not on. Lift it up higher. Would this help? This help? Okay, it's helping a little bit. So summer schedule starts next week at 10:30, so be aware of that. We'll send it out on the weekly email and some of the other fun stuff that we do with that, and we'll do another reminder probably Thursday, Friday for you just to remember. So, but you guys are all here. So you guys will all be here at 10:25, so we can start 10:30 in that. Let's pray before we start this message this morning. So Father, thank you so much. Thank you for the fact that we get to celebrate you, and we get to celebrate you in so many different ways and in so many different levels. Father, I just pray that you would just lead us and guide us here this morning. Father, may we hear from you. Because God, I think there's one or there's two things that you want us to know and to take away and to apply into our lives. So lead us, Holy Spirit, we pray in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Get myself lined up here a little bit. I think I've said it here before, but if I haven't, I've been actually remiss. Is that I'm a huge supporter of camp. I think camp is one of the greatest gifts and greatest tools that God has given to us to train and to disciple people of all ages. I know that it's had a huge impact in my life, as it has been in your life. I worked at a camp back in the days when "It Only Takes takes a Spark" was the song. In fact, I remember we sang it so much at camp that we actually started to actually hate the song. Remember that, some of you? Yeah, we sang it so much. But this was the camp that was so instrumental in my life. I worked there 2 years, 1 year as a junior counselor and another year as a senior counselor. And I would dare say this to you, that I'm standing here at least partly because of what God did in my life many, many years ago at Lake of the Trees Bible Camp. I actually want to take you back to for just a moment. See, as the junior counselor for that 1 year, I did dishes a lot. In fact, I did dishes 3 times a day, like 7 weeks straight. Okay? It was I remember one time that the senior counseling staff, they said, "Brian, you've done dishes so often for so long, you take a break." And actually, they made me sit down and watch them do dishes. It was kind of fun when I think about that now. But I also had a time off each day, a time where I didn't have any responsibilities, be it in the kitchen or helping with any of the programming or cabin stuff. And I would do a couple of things. I would go for a run. Back in the days that I actually ran, okay, not now, as you guys can tell. But another thing that I would do often is I go and sit on a place called the Rock of Ages. See, the Rock of Ages was a big rock that was just slightly off the shoreline, probably 4 feet. It's a nice little hop. And it was hidden behind some trees. I could hear the camp stuff going on behind me, but it was hidden enough so you felt that you were alone and you could be alone. I remember sitting on that rock. I call it Rock of Ages for some reason. I'm not even sure why now. But it was a spot where I would go for that hour and just be alone. Sometimes this was in the evening. I'd gaze up at the stars and just see the wonderness of what God has done. Sometimes I would be there with a friend. In fact, I'm still close friends with one of the persons from that camp. And we spent hours on that rock together. Sometimes I would be there and I just praise God. Sometimes I go there and I pray. Sometimes I would go there and that's where I'd have my devotions for that day. And though I can't be completely sure, I think that it was there during my devotions that I first read Psalm 121. Psalm 121. In fact, it's become my favorite psalm. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, please turn there with me to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. The description of this psalm, as most of your Bibles will have, is called a song of ascents, or in my Bible it says, a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. And what this means was that this was the reason why this psalm was written. Sometimes those introductory stuff tells us about the author or the circumstances and things like that. And this one specifically was written as the people of Israel traveled to Jerusalem for one of the feasts that they had to go there for. And as we had read before here, as Marcia led us, Psalm 121 verse 1 says this, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? I've never been to Israel. Has anybody here been to Israel? A couple of you people have, right? Tyler, you were there. You were there with Mile 2, right? And I have understood that Israel is actually quite mountainous, okay? It's got a bunch of mountains in this place, and as you get to walk, you get to walk by and then through the mountains to get there. Well, I'm a BC boy. I love mountains. I truly do. In fact, I remember 10, 11 years ago, whatever it was, when we first moved from BC out to Yorkton, where we're pastoring. I remember that summer, the next summer, we went back to BC for our holidays. I remember coming into the mountains, and I went, it felt at home for me. I love the actual majesty of the mountains, and to me, they're incredibly comforting for me. And I know Tyler feels the same way, but Rachel doesn't. It's kind of interesting because I remember talking to her about this and said, Brian, that's exactly the way that I feel when I come into the prairies. So when we moved back to Yorkton or moved to Yorkton, Rachel went, because she's in the prairies. So we have some issues that you might want to deal with here. But it was that way for me. As a BC boy, I love the mountains. And to me, the mountains evoke an incredible presence. And I can see God in and through them. And one of the things that people can often see when they're in the mountains, although I need to tell you the story that I had a relative that first time that they traveled from the prairies out to BC where we were living, they felt the mountains were going to fall in on them. They actually hated it, but that's not me. Anyways, I'm not sure why I said that story. But mountains evoke a sense of permanence and a sense of strength. Because you can't destroy a mountain. At least not like you can destroy a bridge or a building or some other structures. So the mountains to me evoke strength, and for many of us that's what it is. And I wonder if this is what the writer had in mind when he wrote in Psalm 121 verse 1. They says that does our help come from these majestic immovable mountains? And the answer to this rhetorical question is actually found in verse 2 when he says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, who made these majestic, immovable mountains. So what the writer is doing here is he's saying, as great as these mountains are and they seem to be, that would be misplaced help if you were to place your source of help in them. Because see, true help comes not from the created things, but from the Creator. And as the people sojourned and as they traveled to Jerusalem, they were using, God used this as this reminder, because they'd see these majestic mountains and they'd be walking in and through them, that true help does not come from mountains, but from the Creator of those mountains. And sometimes, I think we forget that. I mean, God's given us so many gifts and so many abilities, and we can do so much as human people, but our help ultimately does not come from there, but from the God who stands behind those things. And this was just an incredible reminder for the people as they traveled to Jerusalem of this very fact. And notice how through the rest of Psalm 121, how this is described. It says this, in the New Living Translation says, he, that is God, will not let you stumble, For the one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Those highlighted words in this passage is the dominant word that is found in this passage, and that is the Hebrew word shamar, which means to preserve or to aid or to protect. And it's used 6 times in this passage that God is watching or just keeps or keeps watch over the people. So as the people sang this song as they traveled to Jerusalem for these various feasts, and when they traveled through these mountain paths, they were reminded, the song reminded of them, that even though this path that they've traveled through these mountains, it may not always be smooth, it may be full of crevices or even have some holes in it, God is watching over them, and he will not let them stumble, as verses 3 and 4 say, because God is alert. He's not like other so-called gods that sleeps. He is always, always alert. And as they traveled, depending upon where they lived and where they, and actually when they left, they'd be traveling through the day, and sometimes they would have to sleep at night in these hills and in these mountains. And spending the night in there is okay because God was this protective shade about them, that he would protect them from the heat of the day and from the cool of the night, verses 5 and 6 mentions. And in verses 7 and 8, they affirm that God would protect them from harm, from the wild animals and the bandits that often lurked in these mountain passes. Folks, these are the truths that they sang about as they traveled to Jerusalem for their yearly feasts. They believed that the Creator God was watching and keeping them in the totality of their life. For that's really what this passage is talking to us about. That God was watching over their totality, over the completeness of their life. So a question that I would have here for you is this. Does that mean that nothing ever happened to them? Were they never robbed or maimed as they traveled to there? Didn't they suffer maybe from heat stroke occasionally, or maybe twist an ankle on these rocky paths? To be honest, I don't know for sure, but I think I'm pretty safe in saying that probably some of those things did happen to these people, that sometimes they did stumble, and sometimes they did get cold at night, sometimes they did suffer from the wild animals or from the bandits. So what about us? Many of us would affirm the fact that God is watching and looking after us. Yet, sometimes harm happens to us, and often it's not through any fault of our own. So, is God really watching over us? Is the truths Psalm 121 give us, are they really, really true? Or is it just a little pithy saying that makes us feel good but really has no deep value? Well, I'm going to give you 3 quick points as we kind of wrap this together, because I think God watches and looks after us. But the first point is this. Jesus says to us in John 16, verse 33, that in this world you will have trouble. See, the reality is that we live in this imperfect world. And because we live in this imperfect world that is full of sin and is desiccated by sin and the effects of sin, trouble is going to happen to us. It's why when you look and you read through the book of Revelation, you see that God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. a new earth that isn't going to be affected and manipulated by sin. So this is the reality that we have to understand, and most of us do, but we need to hear it. We need to hear this when we read this passage that God cares and looks after us, that we live in this imperfect world, and that trouble will naturally be part of this. But second of all is this. Because we can't see what is going on behind the scenes, in the heavenlies, as it were, we don't see how much God is watching and God is keeping us. We see and we understand things only on this human plane, but we don't always understand and can see the stuff that goes on in the heavenly realms and the stuff behind us. This idea and this thought really came strongly to me one time when we were traveling. And I forget exactly where we're going to or what it was, but I remember getting stuck behind a car. And I only drive 103 kilometers an hour, so I'm not a big speed guy, right? Richard would like me to drive faster, but again, our issues that we got to deal with. And so I remember coming in behind this car, and it was a slower vehicle. And one of the things that God's dealt with me over the years is my road rage. This was pre that time, so I was starting to get mad. I was starting to get really, anxious to go this stuff and to try and look for ways to pass and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, God spoke to me and said, Brian, there's a reason why I want you to slow down and be behind this vehicle. And it dawned on me this, that God in that moment in time was protecting me from something that is going on up ahead, that if I would pass this vehicle, if I would have been going that 103 kilometers an hour, that I would have run into. Folks, because we don't always see what God is doing in the heavenly realms and how God is protecting and how God is looking after us, we forget. We forget that He really is. And yes, some bad things do happen to us. Trouble does come. But God protects us from so much more that could be going on and could be happening. So this is the second point that we need to understand when it comes to this whole idea of God looking and watching and protecting us. And the third point that I want to make comes from a point from a comment by the commentator Mark Furtado, when he says this: by trusting that the Lord is watching over us every step of the way and every moment of the day, we can turn potential stumbling blocks into stepping stones. So in other words, to put it into the language of my brain, is that God takes the ugly that we go through in life to grow our faith. That God takes the ugly that we go through in our life to actually grow our faith. And we actually see this in different passages of the scriptures. So Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says, we can rejoice too. In other words, let's be happy, let's be glad when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. So God is taking the ugly that we go through in life to grow it. Then one of my favorite passages of the scriptures, James chapter 1, verse 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it as an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Folks, those are amazing passages that God has given to us. Because you see, when we go through the troubles that we go through and the trials that we face, God will use them to transform us, to change us, to lead us into spiritual maturity, which is what He desires for every one of us. So really, in the midst of you going through those things, God is watching over you. God is keeping you because He's growing your faith. He's developing you into be the men and the women of God that He so desires you to be. That's why we can say with confidence, that God is looking and that God is watching over us. So I invite you to do this. I invite you to come, go on the Rock of Ages, or sit, or go to that spot where you just get alone with God. And when you do, gaze upward. Gaze upward and praise God. And praise God for looking after you, even when those things include troubles. You see, God cares so much about us that he uses that ugly stuff to grow you and to develop your faith. God is truly, truly watching over you. He truly cares for you. And our help truly comes from God alone. Shall we pray? So God, thanks so much for Psalm 121. Thanks so much for the incredible truths that we have in it. Father, we know that you care. You didn't leave us here. You haven't abandoned us in any way or in any form. That you are leading us, that you are guiding us. Father, forgive us when we think that in the midst of the troubles and the trials that we go through, that you've somehow turned your eyes away from us, that you aren't protecting us. Forgive us for those thoughts. May we fully understand and realize that even in the midst of them, you are there. So Father, grow our faith. We so desire to become the men and the women of faith that you've called us to be. May we truly become spiritual, mature men and women for Jesus. Amen. Worship team.